Will you please turn to the book of Haggai, the prophet Haggai. There are only two chapters, but I feel I have to read at least one chapter. So we'll read the first chapter. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, came the word of Jehovah by the prophet Haggai unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that Jehovah's house should be built. And the word of Jehovah came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you that ye should dwell in your wainscoted houses, while this house lies waste? And now thus say Jehovah of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bringing little. Ye eat but are not satisfied. Ye drink but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe yourself but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages for a bag with holes. Thus said Jehovah of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said Jehovah. Ye looked for much, and behold, it was little. And when ye brought it home, I blew upon it. Wherefore, said Jehovah host, because of my house there lies waste, while ye run every man to his own house. Therefore over you the heavens withhold their dew, and the earth withholdeth its fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. And Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, and all the remnant of the people hearkened to the voice of Jehovah their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, according as Jehovah their God had sent him. And the people feared before Jehovah. Then spoke Haggai, Jehovah's messenger, in Jehovah's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, said Jehovah. And Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked at the house of Jehovah of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. We know that there are altogether 12 so-called minor prophets. And the prophecies of these 12 minor prophets covers approximately 400 years. To put it in a more general term, we may say that they prophesied around 800 B.C. to about 400 B.C. And these 12 minor prophets can be divided into three periods in their prophecies. The first period is what we will call the Assyrian period, roughly from 800 or a little bit more B.C. to 625, when Nineveh was destroyed. And the second period is what we will call the Babylonian period. Some prophets prophesied during that period, and it is from 625 B.C. to around 538 B.C., when Babylon was destroyed. And the last period is the Middle Persian period, which is from after the destruction of Babylon, 538 B.C. to around 400 B.C. And sometimes we call it post-exilic period. Now with the prophet Haggai, actually we enter into the third period. That is the Middle Persian period or the post-exilic period. We know that the children of Israel, because of their unfaithfulness to God, they were taken into Babylonian captivity. But God was faithful to His promises and faithful to His covenant. So after 70 years, God stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus of Medo-Persia Empire to allow the children of Israel, who were at that time captives, to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the house of God. In order to understand the background, we know there are altogether five books in the Old Testament that deals with this post-exilic period, that is, after the exile, their return. There are altogether five books. Two books are historical, Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra dealt more of the religious aspect, that is, the rebuilding of the temple and the beautifying of the temple service. And then we find Nehemiah, which deals more with the civil aspect of the people of God, the rebuilding of the wall and how to strengthen the life of the people together as the city of God. So these two books deal with the history at that time. And there are three other books that deals with the prophecies during that period. And that is Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So actually this morning we are entering into a new period, a new stage. And Haggai is the first one who was raised up by God to speak to the people, the remnant who returned from Babylonian captivity to rebuild the house of God. We know that the captivity begins in 606 BC when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came and taken some of the children of Israel captives into Babylon. So captivity actually begins in 606 BC. And the return of the remnant from Babylon is 536 BC. And they came back under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua. And the next year, at 535 BC, they laid the foundation of the temple. But after the foundation of the temple was laid, we know that they were being attacked, accused by the Samaritans that were their neighbors. And because of the persecutions and oppressions, the work of the building of the temple was ceased for about 15 or 16 years. So it is not until 516 BC or 515 BC that we find the rebuilding began to resume under the prophecy of Haggai. And in 520 BC. And in 515 BC, the temple, the second so-called second temple, was finished. So that is the background of these books. Now the children of Israel that came back from Babylon to Jerusalem were only a remnant. In other words, most of the Jews that were taken captive into Babylon after 70 years. They just remain in captivity. They didn't bother to uproot themselves and to return to Jerusalem. So only a remnant, a small number, whose spirits were stirred by God, and they were willing to give up what they had already built up during that 70 years and return to Jerusalem, which was a barren place, a ruined place. And they returned for the only reason to rebuild the temple of God. Because we know during the time of captivity, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And God, during that period, if we read carefully the scripture, is no longer called the God of the heavens and of the earth. He is addressed almost always as the God of the heavens, but he is not addressed as the God of the earth, because on the earth there was no testimony. The children of Israel were supposed to be the vessel of the testimony of God on earth. But because Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, the children of Israel were in captivity, so God has no testimony on this earth. He was called the God of the heavens, but are not addressed as the God of the earth, although he is. But then you find when the remnant return, they return to rebuild that temple, that God may have a name upon this earth. So to put it in another way, they returned for the testimony of God. They did not return for their own interest, because if they are concerned with their own interest, they will remain in Babylon, because through the years they have built up their houses, built up their businesses, and everything was built up. But thank God a remnant returned, and they want to rebuild the temple of God. That was the only reason why they returned. But unfortunately, when they were being oppressed, when they had troubles, when the enemies began to surround and to attack them, their hands were weakened, and the work they came back to do was stopped for about 15 or 16 years. And during those 15 or 16 years, of course, they had to be occupied with something. So instead of building the house of God, they began to build their own houses. And not only did they build just a hut or a cabin, they built sealed, wainscoted houses, that is, paneled houses. In other words, they spent all their money and energy and time into building their own houses. Now, during that whole period, they didn't say that they will not build the house of God. They said, well, one day we will still build the house of God, but this is not the time. So we just wait when the time came, then we will begin to build the house of God. And you know, that kind of mentality with them postponed the house of God for about 15 or 16 years. And as time went on, even though they had not forgotten, but actually they entered into a period of passivity in regard to the building of the house of God. So, God raised up a prophet by the name of Haggai. Now, Haggai means festive, all the festivals of God. In other words, God is raising that man to bring in the festivals of God, to bring in the joyful atmosphere, the joyfulness in the Lord. Now, Haggai was an old man. We do not know much of his background, but we know that he must be an old man. He probably was one of those who had seen the old temple. Now, as a boy, he must have seen the old temple, the temple that was built by Solomon. So by that time, he must be in his 80s or maybe more, an old man. But God raised up that old man. And as a matter of fact, you'll find that his whole period of prophecy is only 4 months. And he only delivered 4 messages. And yet, in that short period of 4 months, with only 4 messages, you find that the heart of God's remnant were stirred up. And the temple was rebuilt. He must be one of those old men. You remember in Ezra when the remnant came back, when they laid the foundation of the house? The old men who saw that house before, they wept for joy. But the young men, of course, they had never seen that house before, they shout for joy. So Haggai must be one of those old men who wept for joy. And he was the one raised up by God to stir up the remnant to rebuild the temple. Now, before we go on, I think we need to make a spiritual analogy, because we believe that the book of Haggai has much to do with us today. The prophecy of Haggai is not directed to the children of Israel in general. It is not directed to the children of Israel who remain in Babylonian captivity. The prophecy of Haggai is directed exclusively to the faithful remnant who returned from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the house of God. And yet, we find that because of circumstances, difficult circumstances, they haven't forgotten why they returned. But they didn't do what they returned to do. And instead, they are building their own houses. Now, this is the people whom the prophet Haggai addressed. Now, brothers and sisters, in spiritual analogy of our time, we know that the church of God is God's chosen vessel. In the church, he puts his name there. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord said, I give my name to you. In other words, the church is the vessel for the name of the Lord Jesus. The church is the vessel of the testimony of Jesus. How would the world know the Lord Jesus? Except through the church. The church is to present Christ Jesus to the world as he is. This is the call of the church. But unfortunately, we find historically in AD, the 4th century AD, we find when Constantine the Great, the Roman Emperor, when he adopted Christianity, the world came into the church and began to rule over the church. Christ is the head of the church, but after Constantine adopted Christianity, if you read history, you'll find that in the council that he called together, he was presiding over the council. In other words, the world had now come in into the church and governed it. gradually it changed. When you come to the 6th century, you find that instead of the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire was destroyed, you find it is the Roman Catholic Church that began to rule over the Church of God. So instead of the Church under the world, now you find the Church is under the religious world. So the Church is in captivity. During all these years, the Church was in captivity. If not in captivity under the secular world, then the Church was in captivity under the so-called religious world. But thank God, even so, you find that in every century, in every generation, God always raised up a remnant. Few in comparison, despised, persecuted, misunderstood, and yet God always raised up some to maintain the testimony of Jesus. There were always some who returned, as it were, from Babylon to Jerusalem, from confusion to simplicity, purity, peace that is of God. And these few through the centuries always maintain the testimony of Jesus in the world. But you will find that they were persecuted by the Roman world. And later on they were persecuted by the religious world, the Roman Catholic. Many were martyred. Many were killed. But thank God that throughout the centuries, there were always those who are faithful to God, to His Word, and to the testimony of Jesus. In the 16th century A.D., we have what we call the Reformation. And historically speaking, we say the recovery work of God concerning His testimony began in Reformation. Even though before that we know there had been recovery all the time. But in Reformation it is a new beginning because it is worldwide, as it were, of a massive nature. So in the Reformation you'll find that the most important things that happened during the Reformation, we always know, is the justification by faith. But actually, you'll find even more important than that is the open Bible. An open Bible, a Bible for everybody, in your own language, in your own tongue, so you can read it. And also, justification by faith is the truth that was recovered during the Reformation. But unfortunately, we find that the Reformation did not go back to God's original purpose for His Church. So instead of the international or the worldwide Roman Catholic Church, you find national churches sprang forth in different places. And afterwards you find so-called dissenters, and they are independent churches coming forth. So, brothers and sisters, you find that even though there was a recovery, but it wasn't recovered to its fullness. And because of that, you find since Reformation, through the centuries, you always find a remnant. God called a remnant to return to Jerusalem, to purity, to simplicity of Christ, to maintain the faith keep the truth and deny not the name of the Lord Jesus. Return to the Bible. Return to God's original purpose. You'll find that always there were some people there trying to return. Even during the time of Reformation, if you read the story of Reformation. And these people who want to return fully to the Bible, strangely, they were persecuted by the Reformers. And this is the general history. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find that as we come to the close of this age, we do believe that God is calling even more earnestly that out of the so-called church, which is in captivity, captured by a religious system, God is calling people to return to Jerusalem, to simplicity of Christ, and there to maintain the testimony of Jesus. And this book is especially addressed to such people. Thank God in our days, we do find all over the world, there are people who are not satisfied by remaining in captivity, being bound by religious system. They really seek the Lord. They want the fullness of Christ. And because of this, they want to return to the simplicity and sincerity of Christ. And they want to be gathered together just unto the Lord. They want to be open to all God's people for fellowship. They do not want to be divided. They want to build up the temple, the house of God, as the testimony of Jesus. And you find throughout the world there are people like that, in different stages, in different degrees. But thank God in our time there are such people all over the world, unknown to the world, unknown even to the religious world, but known to God. But strangely you find these are the people that were also being misunderstood, persecuted, despised, but they are maintaining the testimony of Jesus. And their job is to rebuild the house of God, that God may have a place to put his name, that God may dwell among his people, that God may do his work through his people. Now this people is called to do one thing. You know, the remnant, they returned to Jerusalem only for one purpose. Not two purposes, only one purpose. They returned to build the house of God. That's the purpose. Brothers and sisters, is it not true that our call is just for one purpose? God called us out of the world. God called us out of the religious world. For what reason? One purpose. To build the house of God. That we may be built together as God's house. For God to dwell by his Spirit. That the name of Jesus may be lifted. That he may be glorified. That is the whole purpose why we are here. But brothers and sisters, you find that during those days, these remnant came back. They started to build. But then oppression came. Attacks came. Difficulties came. Problems came. And because of these things, the work was stopped. They did not give up completely, but they did not go on building the house of God. And instead of that, they began to build their own houses. Now, brothers and sisters, do we not have the same temptation? So oftentimes we forget why we are here. We are here for one purpose, to build the house of God. But sometimes because of some difficulties, we begin to build our own houses instead. You look into the conditions of the Jewish remnant at that time. Why did they cease building the house of God? It is true. The Samaritans attacked them. The Samaritans tried to weaken their hands. They even got the king to give an order that the work should be seized. But brothers and sisters, these are not the true reasons. Because when they resumed the rebuilding, these situations were still there. So you find that the reason why they ceased to build the house of God actually is an inward reason. You know, when they first came back, there was the thrill. You know, there was the excitement. Oh, we come back to build the house of God out of ruin. It is very heroic. And there is something that will excite your soul. But when you really get down to the daily laboring, it's a different matter. Very quickly you find that the zeal, that enthusiasm begins to fade away. Or to put it in a stronger terms, you find they begin to leave their first love. When they have that first love, there is strength. But when the first love is gradually fading, of course, the work begins to dwindle until it comes to a perfect stop, complete stop. So the problem actually is with first love. When we read Revelation, the letter to the seven churches, do we not see the same thing? Here you'll find the controversy of God with his people is, you have left your first love. What God is really desiring is that first love. But oftentimes we find that when the thrill of revelation, when the thrill of a new vision begins to fade away, somehow our first love also begins to cool off. So as you read the prophecy of Haggai, you find there is a key word there. That word is the word that God addressed to his people in that particular condition of people who return from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild a house, and yet they are not building it. God has a special word for such people, and that word is consider. Five times you find in this short book of Haggai, God said, consider. Consider, 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 consider. What is meant by consider? The word consider actually means set your heart on. You are engaged in building your own houses. You are so busily engaged. You do not think anymore. You take things for granted now. The circumstances are difficult. It is too difficult to build the house of God. We have to wait for a better time. So how are we going to occupy the time we have in our hands? Let's build our own houses. And as they built for 15 years, brothers and sisters, you find they don't think anymore. They think that they're doing the right thing. Their spirit begins to be dulled. Go to sleep. So God said, consider. Think. Set your heart upon. Ponder over what's going on. What's happening? Repent and return to do the first work. Brothers and sisters, do we not need the same word? As time goes on, things begin to be more routine. And gradually you find our spirit becomes dull. We take everything for granted now. We think that everything is okay, is fine. But brothers and sisters, the Lord has to send His prophet to His people to stir them up. The Lord said, you say, it is not time to build the house of God. The Lord said, is it time for you to build your own houses? Brothers and sisters, you find that time is a big problem. God is the God of eternity. He is timeless. But He created time. He created the time to do certain work. He gave us time. That in time we may do His work. Time is opportunity. Time is work. Time is a gift of God given to us. But the thing is, how do you use your time? There is only this time, such time. But the question is, how do you use the time God has assigned to us? The Jewish remnant say it is not the time to build the house of God. Why? Because too much trouble. But God said, is it time for you to build your own houses? You allow my house lie waste and you run to build your own houses? Is it time for you? You either use your time to build the house of God, or you use your time to build your own houses. Which house are you building? You remember when our Lord Jesus was on earth? In John chapter 7, verse 6, He said to His brothers in the flesh, your time is always ready, but My time has not yet come. In other words, you find that when our Lord Jesus was on earth, to Him time is a very important factor. He always waits for the time of His Father. When His Father's times come, then He does the work. He never uses the time for His own self. He always used the time God has given him, and it's only 33 some years. He always used the time according to God's timetable. But his brothers in the flesh, the Lord said, your time is always ready. In other words, instead of seeking to do the will of God in the time apportioned to them, they take time in their own hands and use it for their own purpose. Therefore, it is always ready. In other words, they can go anywhere they want to go, whenever they want to go. They can do anything whenever they want to do it. Because it's their time. It's their time. Brothers and sisters, you find the Jewish remnant, the time that God has apportioned to them to build the house of God, they say, no, it is not the time to build the house of God, but they take it in their own hands and say, it is time for us to build our own houses. Their time is always ready. You know, when you are trying to use the time for God, the enemy will try every way to frustrate you, to make it so difficult that you think, well, this is not the time. But if you are trying to use the time to build your own interests, to build your own houses, to build your own kingdom, you'll find it always ready because the enemy will help you along. There will be no opposition. Is always ready. Do we not discover the same thing? You know, time is something that everybody is fighting for. God is fighting for the time He has given us. But the enemy is also fighting for the same time. You remember Pharaoh? When God delivered a message to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, that they may serve me. Pharaoh said, all right. I will let the children of Israel to do hard labor to such an extent to occupy all their time and energy that they will not think of going away to serve God. Is not the enemy doing the same thing with us today? Brothers and sisters, we are not just the people of the world. We are not even just God's people, period. We are God's people who have returned to build the house of God. And the enemy is trying his very best to rob all our time, to make us all occupied with our own interests, with things of this and that, brothers and sisters. We have no time to build the house of God. Where are God's people when the time for prayer comes? Where are God's people when the time of fellowshipping over the Word of God comes? If we are able to come once a week, spend 2 hours, we think we are the best Christian in the world. But are you building the house of God? This is not building the house of God. The building the house of God should be our occupation. He should have the priority over all things. Oh, brothers and sisters, we haven't given up building the house of God. But this is not the time. And the Lord said, is it time for you to build your own houses? Yes, you need a house to live, but you do not need a panel house to live. But we have to be occupied. If you are not occupied with building the house of God, sure you will be occupied building your own houses. So the controversy with God's people today is a controversy over time. God said, consider. consider your ways. The first consider is in chapter 1, verse 6. Consider your ways. Consider what you are doing. God said, you sow much, but you gain a little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, but you are not fully drunk. You clothe yourself, but you do not gain warmth. You earn wages, but you put wages in a pocket with holes. In other words, nothing fulfilled, nothing satisfied. Why is it? Stop and think about it. During those 15, 16 years, when my house lies waste and you're building your own houses, you put much into it, but how much satisfaction do you get? Brothers and sisters, are you satisfied? Are you still spiritually hungry? Do you think you have put much into labor into it and you get only a little out of it? Do you think that you are earning your wages and put in a pocket with holes? You think nothing is satisfying, nothing is fulfilling spiritually, brothers and sisters? Are we still in hunger and thirst, in poverty, in spiritual poverty? Why is it? Stop and think about it. Why is it? It is because the Lord said, you are under discipline. When you are out of my ways, you are under my discipline. Because I send mildew. When you bring in a blow upon it, you are under the discipline of the Lord. Think. Consider your ways. The second consider is in chapter 1, verse 8. Consider your ways. The second consider is looking forward. The first is looking backward. Looking what you have been doing. The second consider is looking forward. Go to the mountains. Take the wood. Bring it down. Build a house. And I will be pleased and I will be glorified. Brothers and sisters, if we want to build the house of God, we have to go to the mountains. It means spiritual elevation. You just cannot get the materials for the building of the house on the plain. In other words, if you mix yourself with the world, you are not able to get the materials for the building of the house of God. You have to be set apart, climb the mountains, get to the heavenlies, and there in communing with God, there you receive all the spiritual materials for the building of the house of God. And if you do, the Lord said, I will be pleased. I will be glorified. Brothers and sisters, whom are you pleasing? Whom do you want to glorify? Whom are you living for? Are you living for yourself? To please yourself? To glorify yourself? Or are you living for God? To please Him and to glorify Him? To build the house of God glorifies God. It pleases God. Because this is what God wants. He wants to dwell among His people. He wants to put His name there. He wants to give His peace there. These are the two considers that the prophet brought to the Jewish remnant. And thank God, Zerubbabel, Joshua, and
the people, they fear God. They fear God. They were stirred. And the word came to Haggai, the second time, God's messenger. And the message to the people is, I am with you. I am with you. Brothers and sisters, there is no promise more precious than this. I am with you. If God is with us, who can resist us? If God is with you, you can work to build the house of God. In spite of all the oppositions, it shall be done. So God promised the children, the remnant, I am with you. And God stirred the spirits of Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the remnant. And they began to start the work of building the house on the 21st day of the 6th month of the 2nd year of Darius his Thespis. So the work resumed. Now thank God that they listened. Brothers and sisters, I do believe that God is challenging us today on this matter of time. Oftentimes we say we have no time. Yes, we are busily occupied. But we have to make time for the Lord. He shall have the first place. The building of the house is what we are here for. God give us time for that one and only purpose. If we do not use the time for that purpose, we have wasted the time that God has apportioned to each one of us. Haggai was an old man. He will soon pass away. His time will be gone. So he was so burdened that the house should be built. The second message. Every message begins with the word of Jehovah. The second message came in the 7th month on the 21st day of the 7th month. In other words, less than a month after they started to build from the foundation up. And God sent Haggai to them and said, what do you see? You have started the work for about a month. And what do you see? Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Now Haggai was one who saw the glory of the former house. That is Solomon's temple. So he said, well, what do you see now? Of course, they are just starting. But even with the beginning, you can see. Even when it is finished, it cannot be compared in any way with King Solomon's temple. Their resources were so limited. Their people were so few. They were in a unpeaceful situation, not like Solomon's time. There was a time of peace. And you find that Even if they finish the house, I mean, they started to work on it, and even they finish, it cannot be compared with Solomon's temple. And because of this, some people got discouraged. It is so little. So what's the use of building it? Very quickly you find despair, disappointment came to the hearts of the people. So Haggai, sent by God to tell them that, be strong. What I have covenanted with you when I brought you out of Egypt, that covenant still stands. I haven't changed. My spirit is still with you. Fear ye not. In other words, you find God strengthened them. God said, I am with you. My covenant is with you. My spirit is with you. Do not be afraid. Be strong. Continue on. Because he said, one day, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the land and everything, and the desire of the nations shall come, and the glory of the house. Let the glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says Jehovah of hosts. Now, how many houses God has? You know, some people have a winter house, a summer house, a house in Washington, a house in Richmond. But brothers and sisters, God has only one house. Solomon's temple is his house. It was destroyed. The temple rebuilt. We call it the second temple. The temple rebuilt by the remnant. Outwardly is another house. But God said, no, no. You think you are building a second temple. No. I have only one house. This little thing is part of the one house that I am at. Even though it is very little, very small, and it is, yet it is mine. It is part of what I am after. And I am continuing working on it until one day everything will be shaken. And the desire of the nation shall come, of course. That is, the Messiah shall come. Christ shall come, and he will build the house. I will build the church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Remember, the little thing that you are working on is part of that thing. It is there. It is not apart from it. It is a part of it. It will be there. It will be in there. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former glory. The glory of Solomon's house cannot be compared with the glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any of such sort. Holy. Without blemish, to be presented to Christ as his bride. This is the house. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you see this, you will not be discouraged. When you look around, sometimes you find so little, almost nothing. Why bother? It is more comfortable to go to a big cathedral, listen to wonderful music and be soothed by pleasing words. Why bother to put your shoulder with your tears trying to build something which is nothing in human eyes? Brothers and sisters, if you see that vision, that glorious church, the Lord said, it is their part of it. That's what I'm building. And I will give my peace to you. Isn't that enough? The third message. 3 months have passed. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year, the word came. It used a kind of parables. Asked the priest, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of the garment, you know the priest, you know they carried the holy flesh, that is sacrifices offered. And if they carried it in their garment and it touched other things, a bread or pottage or wine or oil or any food, will it become holy? In other words, here is the holy flesh. When it touches anything, will that make the thing holy? And the priest said, no. Holiness does not spread like that. But if someone touches a dead body, and he touched these things, do that make these things defiled, unclean? Yes. Uncleanness contaminates. And you know, after 3 months of putting their hands on the building of the house, their financial situation hasn't changed. You know, they were under discipline because they sold a lot, but they got a little bit back. You know, they put much energy in it, but they received very little. So they were under discipline. And when they start to listen to God's word and begin to rebuild the house of God, they were thinking that everything would change. Now God's blessing would come. But 3 months had passed, and they were still under discipline. They went to the vet to find, to a heap of 20 measures and but 10, when we come to a vet to draw 50 press measures, and they were but 20. They were still under discipline, and they couldn't understand. Why is the blessing doesn't come? We have obeyed God. We are now building the house. Why doesn't blessing come? So here the prophets told them. It is because when you sow the seed at that time, you were still unclean. So everything was unclean. But now, from this day and forward, from the 24th day, from the 24th day, of the ninth month, he said, now you consider. Before the foundation was laid, you are under discipline. And you are still under discipline. Because what you sow was unclean. And you know, this is in the ninth month. And their ninth month is our November or December. So in other words, the spring sowing hasn't come yet. But the Lord said, what you are having is the past. You are still under discipline. But from this day onward, the blessing will come. I will bless you. And you find three considers there. Consider, consider, and consider. God said, you think about it. The blessing will come. What a comfort this must be to this people.
So, brothers and sisters, sometimes we feel that, well, we are now doing the will of God. Why is it that the blessing doesn't come? It takes a little time.
But God's promise is always true.
And finally, on that same day, another message came. It's a wonderful message. On the 24th day of the ninth month, and the word of God came to, through Haggai, say, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdoms. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride therein. And the horses and the riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, say Jehovah host, will I take thee, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, said Jehovah, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, said Jehovah of hosts. Here you'll find Zerubbabel is a type of Christ. As Zerubbabel was used by God to build the second temple, so-called, so here we find his antitype, Christ, is the one who will build the house of God. God will shake the heavens and the earth. Everything that will be shaken off. That Christ may become all and in all. He is the signet of God. He will put the stamp, his stamp, upon everything. In that day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. All things in heaven and earth and underneath the earth shall be under his feet. So, brothers and sisters, we are looking forward to that day, the coming of Christ. Now, this is the book of Haggai. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we do believe that Thou has a word for us today. Lord, we are before Thee exposed, laid bare, nothing hidden. Oh, shine Thy light upon us. Speak to each one of us. Deliver us from running to build our own houses. Turn our hearts to Thee, that we may together build Thy house. All our desire is Thy house shall be built. Thou shalt have a dwelling place, a place of rest among Thy people. Do not allow us to rest until Thou can enter into Thy rest among Thy people. Lord, we do praise and thank Thee that even though what we can see is little, almost nothing, but Thou dost comfort us that it is within Thy house. Lord, we are looking forward to the day when Thy house shall be completed and Thou shalt come back and claim it to be Thy own. Lord, we want to give it to Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus.